Hello and welcome to another episode of the Brexit Podcast. I'm your host Jennifer Han, and the new magazine Stand Up is not about giving a voice to comedians or paddle boarders, as the name might suggest, but about providing a platform for young people to engage with politics in the wake of Brexit. For today's episode, we brought on editor Stephanie Farnsworth, who launched the zine from her home in Leaf Stronghold, Sunderland. Tim chatted to her about what's next for the magazine, so stay tuned to hear all about that. If you enjoy the show and you want to hear more Brexit-related news like this, please do subscribe to us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast, or find us at brexitpodcast.com.
Welcome to the Brexit Podcast, Stephanie. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and obviously put podcast the standoff, to be honest.
So, look, Stephanie, you have started a magazine called Stand Up, but it's not about paddleboarding, is it? So what's it all about?
Well, I mean, there is a bit of confusion. For some reason, people think we love comedy. I don't know where that came from.
No, that's not true, that's quite obvious.
But actually, we were really inspired by the protests that we're seeing going on, particularly in the UK, and people trying to engage more with politics. So it was all about kind of standing up what we believe in and trying to get young people especially engaged with political debate. So we really saw that this could be a moment in history for the UK, for young people to really actually stand up and have their say and have their voice heard, because we saw with Brexit that young people overwhelmingly voted to remain, but the country's going in the opposite direction. So we think it's a critical time for young people to really try and fight their corner and say, look, the country's going a different direction to what we want. Please include us in what's going on.
It's quite a brave direction to go with a magazine, though, in 2017, isn't it?
I think definitely, because I think there's a split between people who are really frantically trying to get news all the time and people who are just so turned off at this point and they just don't want to hear about the next bad thing that's coming along. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to create quite a novel way of it. We're trying to make it all about empowerment, how people can get involved. We're trying to sing kind of and praise untold stories and people who are working in the communities. We're also looking at the impact of things like media and how that shapes us. We've got a whole section on millennial lifestyle. So we are trying, although it's politics and obviously quite serious and quite dour sometimes, we're trying to balance it with lighter content.
And when's the first edition meant to be out, Stephanie?
Well, this is good because we've deliberately timed it so that it's going to be launched in June, just before the year anniversary of Brexit. So we're having a Brexit special. There's going to be a lot of content analysis on Brexit and what brought us here. We're also, in the next couple of weeks, going to be launching our new crowdfunding campaign where you're going to be able to pre-order copies there.
I see. And it's really targeted at young people and getting young people to, as you said earlier, stand up.
Yeah, we want young voices. I mean, we're all generation millennial and we are students. So it is our target audience. We've got young voices all the way through. When we're going to stories and sources, we're predominantly talking to young people. We really want to elevate their voices. And this kind of conception and of that young people don't really want to engage with politics. We're seeing the fact that young people have been denied the vote at 16, 17. There's been a lot of debate around that. But we want to show that young people do have something that they want to say, that they do understand what's going on. So we're definitely aiming it towards them and showing them as well how they can kind of extend their interest and really get involved maybe with the protests, youth assemblies or community activism, just setting up a local business in something that they're interested in.
Have you got evidence that young people are more engaged now than they have been previously?
I mean, it depends on the data and what you look at. The voting, there's still a struggle trying to get young people to vote. But when they do vote, they tend to be very clear on the policies that they want. And the fact is that they overwhelmingly vote for either more liberal or left-wing causes. And yet the country has been going more right-wing generally. Older votes also count for more because we have an ageing population, so it's kind of stacked against young people. But we also have a problem where the fact is that since 2010 in particular, there's been a lot of broken trust around tuition fees and young people and what they can expect from politicians. And this has risked turning them off. So what you're saying is we're getting young people overwhelmingly turn up to these protests and wanting to have their voice, but they're not turning up to the ballot box as much because they don't think that actually engaging in the political system is really going to help them. So we really want to try and build a bridge and tackle that.
So that's one message you want to get across. You mentioned a minute ago about trying to empower readers through the magazine. What would you be asking them to do, or how would you want to empower them?
Connect and listen, because I feel that young people are really, they're kind of isolated right now and usually just in their own communities, and they're not, particularly if they're marginalised, and there's kind of a disenfranchisement going on. So we want to connect young people together to show them that they're not alone. We want to lead the way for this magazine and say, hey, there are young people like you thinking like this and who agree with you. And we really want to build on that and connect people so that they have the confidence to go forward with that and go to a protest or write to their MP or even stand at the youth assembly or for MP themselves. Look at Mary Black. She's been absolutely fantastic. She's viral every single week, every time she speaks in Parliament.
Yeah, so give us a little bit of background to Mary Black then, if listeners don't know who she is.
So Mary Black is one of the youngest members of Parliament in the UK. She's from the SNP, and regardless of whatever side of the political spectrum you fall on, every single week her videos of when she addresses Parliament are going viral, usually because she speaks not in parliamentary language, which is quite stiff and stilted, but she'll just say exactly what's on her mind, and she'll speak about her constituents and who she's listening to, and she will challenge kind of the order and the system and kind of the stiffness of what we kind of associate with Parliament. There's this image of Parliament that's not really reflective of modern day, that it doesn't really listen to people. And Mary Black's one of those politicians who's really trying to challenge that. And I think that people on all sides of the political spectrum really appreciate someone who can do that. And overwhelmingly, politics is filled with middle-aged people. So to have a young voice doing that and demanding respect, it has been a little bit revolutionary just to watch. And it's something that we would personally love to see more of.
Thank you. We're probably a bit of a giveaway with your accent, but it sounds like you're from up north. Is it Sunderland area, is that correct?
It is Sunderland. My accent always gives it away to absolutely everyone. No matter where I am in the country, they'll go, you're from Sunderland.
So the magazine's based there, right? That's where your little team's working. The areas themselves, Sunderland was a traditional Labour heartland, but 61% to 39% leave to remain. Middlesbrough just up the road, 65% to 35%.
Yeah.
So against that backdrop, have you been speaking to many of the local people? And I've got to see a lot of pro leavers who take an interest in what you've been doing.
Yeah, actually, there is. I think the biggest feeling, and what I've always had from Sunderland, and the leave vote wasn't really a surprise to me, is that people in certain areas, particularly if they've had the same party representing their area for quite a long time, they feel a bit ignored, they feel a bit abandoned. And it was, to some extent, a protest vote. I don't think it was the best thought of protest vote, but I think that's what it was. And I think having a magazine that wants to connect, and we're very welcome of diverse ideas and diverse voices, and people, we love arguments personally, we love debate, and we want to hear from as many people as we can. So I think that the fact that we're approaching it with that attitude, and it's a very open attitude, it is winning respect out. We don't just want to preach to people. That's not what the magazine's about. We want to get people and engage with them and see how we can change things and how we can make things better. Perhaps, maybe, if we'd been trying to do that in the first place, things wouldn't feel so fragmented in the country right now.
I mean, your sort of general premise is that you were hope that we would stay in Europe. If I was somebody from Sunderland and I was struggling, and you know, I was unemployed, I was feeling that being in Europe wasn't working for me. That's why I voted out. And what would your answer be to that?
I mean, I think first of all, women, including myself, have to look at ourselves, because we badly did not get the message across that the EU has, particularly in the area of Sunderland, supplied many thousands of jobs and it has really invested in us. If you just go into the city centre, the first thing you see on the car park was, this was funded by the EU, and that's just our city centre, with it like the heartland of our business. So I do think there is that. But I also think that the press and journalists, again myself included, have a responsibility and to acknowledge that we have kind of let the ball slide for quite a long time. We've pandered to different side of debate about migration and talked about it as being an economic concern, but we're forgetting the lives and we're forgetting the positives in that we have an ageing population. We need more people to be able to do the jobs that older people can't, to be able to pay taxes, to stimulate the economy so that we can pay for things like social care. We got a lot wrong in defending the EU, and I think that was the biggest problem with, is that nobody knew that there was any reason to vote Remain. Nobody really understood the positives, what was going on. And I do think that was the crux of the problem, rather than the EU being a failing institution. And I do think that there is issues, but overall it works. I think the problem was with the message, and we didn't try and fight harder to defend the EU. I think we took the Remain vote for granted.
You are clearly very engaged now. Were you such an activist before the EU referendum vote? And then yes, please answer.
I personally was. I've always been interested in politics. I think the watershed moment for me with contacting MPs and trying to get them to vote and trying to get young people engaged in politics was probably with the same-sex marriage bill, so a few years now. But I've always had an interest in politics. It's interesting because the team, though, the stand-up team, they have all got different backgrounds. Lee absolutely loves radio and hip-hop. Hannah, she's into films. Charlotte's more geek culture. And Alice has worked predominantly with young people. So we all have different backgrounds. I was raised a political one. But it was that Brexit that everyone recognised as a watershed moment for the country. And that really inspired people. And I think if we were inspired by that to want to make a magazine, then it shows that young people do want to connect and try and change things and do things, but just don't necessarily know how to be able to do that.
Were you trying to get the Remain message out before the referendum? And if you failed then, is there some lessons that you've learned that you can now think, I'm going to introduce through the magazine and try and tackle it slightly differently?
I mean, my writing predominantly wasn't focused on Remain. I've always focused on more marginalisation and issues such as that. Perhaps the fact that I didn't at the time take more of an interest in trying to get my writing out there about the EU, that in itself was a failing personally. I do think that the lesson is not to take anything for granted. There's no such thing as a secure vote. I think if anything summed that up as well, it wasn't just Brexit, it was Trump. Everyone kind of assumed that these things could never happen, and then they did. And I think there was a little bit of complacency. And we do need to be a bit more active about championing the causes that we believe in and fighting for and against things which we believe aren't right or fair. And just that whole thing about connecting with people and being able to translate a message, it's a constant act of engagement, and I think we forgot that. I think we just cast the ballot and thought that was it, and we didn't really think about the ramifications or everything that was getting us to that point. It was just, oh, here's a protest vote, or we want change, but what is the change that we're going to get from this? Because I think there's a lot of Leave voters themselves who still probably want to leave but didn't expect it to end up in the way that it has, with the backwards and forwards with the courts and Parliament. So I think there's a lack of transparency, and we need to be clear about the political process as well.
Are you somebody who goes into making predictions as to what will happen next?
You know, I think I've stopped after a whole while. Personally, I think we'll probably still leave. I don't see it stopping. There's a couple of people on the stand-up team who actually think we will just change our minds and we'll see sense. I think we'll leave. I think we will end up with some sort of trade deals. Whether we enter the EU again at a later date, I'm not sure. I think the EU will probably survive as well, because it looks unlikely that Le Pen will win, but hopefully I've not cursed that yet. But I think we are going to have a very different concept of globalisation and a concept of what the EU means. I do think there's been a bit of a fracture across Europe right now, and there's going to be a lot of countries who may not necessarily want to leave, but want to change the nature of the EU and how it works for them.
And when as we step out of the EU, do you see some green shoots for your local area? I mean, you said earlier that Sunderland has a fair bit of European funding.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's certainly going to be on hold and stopped. Potentially we could get some money back that we pay out to Europe, so perhaps that could be channeled into the north. But yourself, do you see some sort of green shoots of industry or optimism there?
I think there is potentially for certain areas, if certain trade deals may come into play with, such as Canada and the US, but it will take a very long time for those to be secured. As for funding specifically in certain regions such as the Northeast, it's going to be quite difficult to really see it sustained long term. Even places such as Cornwall, which has come under, which the government has admitted that they're probably not going to be able to match the funding for what they promised. Because what we've had in the Northeast is there's this long running feeling of discontent that the Northeast services are being cut quite hard, and that we need extra money, but we're not getting from the government. Well, we've still got the same government. We've still got the Conservative Party. We still have, if local members are still saying that Labour are taking us for granted as well, well, we have still got Labour in the local system. So there's not really a great deal what's changed. We've asked for whole-scale change by voting for the EU, but actually the government, the central government and the local governments, of course, have been the same as they always have. Hopefully, if the trade deals can come through, I think there will be some investment, which will be good. It's just quite hard to really see an overwhelmingly positive picture right now. I think the government as well, hopefully from the budget U-turns, has realised that self-employed people are probably going to help really make the bedrock of our economy for a while. So maybe we might see the Northeast economy switch to something a bit more like that, where there's more self-employed people, where there's more small businesses starting. That could be the really one positive thing to come out of Brexit, if the government kind of really invests and supports them.
Is there a general feeling that people are really disaffected from what's going on in Westminster?
I think in definitely, I think it depends on the area that you go to be honest. In the Northeast, in Sunderland and poorer areas, I certainly think so. In the more well-funded areas, maybe less, but they actually have a greater concentration of power over their own affairs, so there might be a connection with there. But I think generally, if you look at the turnout in elections, they're still not fantastic, and they have been falling for quite a few years now. And you can't really, even in the days of Blair, turnout wasn't spectacular. So I do think it's been an ongoing issue, what nobody's really trying to dealt with, or if they haven't come up with any effective answers to be able to engage people. And it's really created an undercurrent of distrust with politicians, where they don't really feel accountable, people aren't really voting them out anywhere, there's not really a lot of options. It does feel like our politically we're a bit stagnant in terms of talent and ideas.
Sounds like you should be standing.
Oh, I don't think I've got the temperament for that.
Are you familiar with the, I'm sure you're familiar with the youth group Undivided. Have you been in touch with them?
We have been in touch with them. We're hoping to work with them. One, Alice has been working on an article with them, which will be great. And we're going to release a bit more detail on our content over the coming weeks when the crowdfunding plan gets launched. But they're a fantastic organisation, really. We are looking at other youth organisations as well, and things like the Youth Assembly to be able to work with and have content articles on them, empowering them, and hopefully be able to spread our message as well.
Yeah, it's I guess coming together and fighting the cause for the youth would make some sort of sense. The Undivided were a group backed, started with the backing of the Bombay Bicycle Club guitarist, I believe. Is it Jamie McColl? Is that correct?
I think so.
And yeah, and they were trying to get you know, hundreds of thousands of names on petition, but then they would come up with a manifesto to take to number 10. So,
which is exactly the spirit we want.
Yes, yeah, I could see there was a lot of similarities between what you were trying to do. You also toyed with calling your magazine Big Red Bus. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then you parked it.
Yeah, we did actually. That was my favourite option, but the team took a vote. I mean, it obviously would have been a fun name to go with, but, you know, I think it would have been a bit slightly contentious looking back, because there are a lot, we do want to engage Leave voters as well, and I think there's certain things that perhaps we need to just put aside.
So that was in response to the $350 million on the side of the NHS, would cost the NHS if we stayed in the EU, right?
Yep, and to be fair as well, we are looking to make this a long-term project if there is the will and the support there. And although it's a Brexit special and it's been triggered by Brexit, the whole magazine, we want to look at continuously trying to empower young people, and we did feel that the big red bus, although it would be funny for the first issue, it might lose a bit of relevancy looking if we're like looking further into the future.
Yes, not quite got the longevity, but yeah, for the one quick gag.
Yeah, and it would have been great from cover just to have a big red bus on, to be fair.
So look, finally, if people want to find out more about the magazine, where should they go?
We're on Twitter and Facebook and pretty much every social media platform as Stand Up Mag and then a little underscore at the end. We'll also on our social media feeds probably tomorrow actually be launching a lot more details about our campaign and how you can pre-order our magazine.
Okay, and I had a quick look at your social media feed before the interview, and it looks like you're quite into your poetry as well.
It's World Poetry Day, so we've all been having an absolute blast with that, to be honest.
Is that today?
It is today.
Completely over my head. I should have definitely come up with some poetry, shouldn't I, for this?
Definitely. I don't know how you could have missed it. It's just so fun.
Have you got one you want to give us now, Brexit related?
Oh.
Put you on the spot.
We actually have one just on our little feed, which is Born from Brexit, We Lift Young Voices, Occasionally Taught Netflix, Tackle Oppression, Fight Indifference, Join Us Now, Get in the Mix.
Outstanding. It's you should be the next poet laureate. I actually went to see, probably last episode, maybe two back, I went to see a new play on Brexit called My Country, A Work in Progress, and that's written by the people of Britain, but also by the poet laureate Carol Ann Duffy.
Yeah,
it might be coming up your way, but I'd recommend you you get to see it when we get a press pass for that one if you can.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to see that anyway.
It's great. It's actually she does a really good job with it. And then I guess just finally, for a reader for the magazine, can you give us like a sneak preview of one killer article that people should pick up the magazine for that's going to be coming out in the first edition?
One of our biggest features is why there is an issue with young people and why they should care, how their voices have been devalued over the years and what issues are impacting them, such as housing, voting, and why the magazine was set up in the first place.
Stephanie, thanks ever so much for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
As always, thanks for listening. And if you enjoy the show, please subscribe to us on your podcast platform of choice so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at brexitpodcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming, and Warren Paul, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin MacLeod.